Who would be a water spot, eh?
On goes four. Seaford might yet win it here for Wolves. Flaps in the shot. What a goal!
Hello, Wolves fans. Welcome to the latest pre-match episode of the Wolves Fancast in association with 90minute.com, Wolverhampton Eats, Sport Shop Kings Winford, and Pixel Yeti Media. As you can see, I've got two very special guests with me tonight. Adam Price, obviously, very, very special, and even more special, Barry Douglas, all the way from Poland, Eastern Europe. How are we, gents?
All right, mate. How you doing?
As you'll see, Barry is having slight technical connection issues at the moment, but that's not going to stop us from having a great show. Adam, that Villa win on Saturday, just try and sum it up quickly for us again.
Oh, Daniel, what a day, eh? Even more so, I imagine, for people like yourself who actually went to the game. I've only just really stopped watching the highlights, to be honest. Off the Twitter page, off the Wolves app. Don't care. All the fan videos have been going around. Don't care where they've come from. I've pretty much watched all of them, to be honest. I know some people still don't think that Villa is much of a derby. It was a manufactured derby. It is to me, really. The geographical nature of it. And the fact that, you know, we're going to be playing them a lot more going forward. Probably more so than we will Albion. To me, I mean, it's just the way that the game went, or where the game was going at the time. I know some fans, including myself, probably was a bit disheartened by the way the game was going. At this point, I won't drop one of my mates in it who begged for a ticket on Twitter all week long, went to the game, left it 2-0. I'm sure if he listens to this, he knows what he's done and he deserves all he gets. But I imagine some people at that point, at 80 minutes, must have thought, yeah, it's not, you're just going to peter out, really, yeah. To be honest. At that last, 15 minutes, wasn't it, really? Didn't see it coming, but yes, please, we'll have more of that, where that came from. Just the passion the players showed as well. The first goal I actually thought was quite well worked, you know, with Neves and Pedence setting it up for Sace, and then obviously it's just a one way traffic pretty much from that point in. But you could just see it in the fans, couldn't you? You just saw the fans' reactions. I imagine you were in there at some point, that you're in the mess of people at somewhere. It just looked amazing, to be honest.
It was really yeah. It was a special away day. Obviously, we got Barry back with us again. Winning a local derby, regardless of, obviously, everyone knows West Brom is our main rivals. But in it, that sort of game and the way it ended on Saturday, how people can't enjoy football still blows my mind on a regular basis. If you could bottle up that feeling that I had, to be honest, if you saw the clip of me going wild on Match of the Day just to the equaliser, if I could bottle that feeling, I'd be a rich, rich man. Thanks for joining us again, Barry. What was your thoughts on the win on Saturday? I know you caught the last little bit of it on your away trip journey.
I did. And the first question I'm going to ask is, why is Connor Cody so far up the park?
He's gone rogue since you left, Barry. He's just... We can't keep hold of him. He's scored something like 3 goals in 4 shots that he's had in the Premier League now. I mean, he's got to be pushing for the Ballon d'Or now, the lad.
Prolific is prolific. It was a great win. I heard you just touching on there. It was a derby win. And I think, especially coming from 2 goals down to finish the way we did in the last minute, obviously Roman scoring a free kick, it just tastes a little bit better, doesn't it?
I think you've seen Ruben Neves, obviously, in close quarters a lot of the time, renowned for being a good free-kick taker, but probably not in the same sort of realm as yourself. What do you think to that?
Yeah, we've had this argument a few times. Look, we both put a lot of time and effort into taking set pieces, and I think when you've got someone like Robin who can strike the ball the way he does, it makes you up your game, and it's great to challenge each other. So I think that's why the season I was there, we were so successful from a lot of set pieces.
What was your sort of process in regards to your set pieces? Was it just constant practice, or I read a story years ago that David Beckham, his dad used to take him over the park and he'd tie a tyre to the crossbar and he literally said, you've got to get it through this tyre X amount of times before you can go home.
Yeah, no, that's David Beckham. Mine's is just head over the ball and hope for the best.
I'm not having that.
It works.
I'm not having that.
I think it's like what the fans see, like the execution, a good free kick is, it's hours and hours of practice. Not just in the training ground, but years and years I've went into it. As a kid, trying to perfect your trade and perfect that precision. Like you said, it can be with tires, it can be with posts, it can be an old garage, whatever it is. But I think it's just consistency is key. And I think if you look at the best set piece takers, the most consistent in the world, like they're constantly practicing, and they just don't take it for granted.
Where did that win on Saturday rank for you, Adam, in regards to our sort of best comebacks?
Thought about this. You might cast your mind back, don't you? If you want to go far back to like the De Wolves 4, Leicester 3, Bristol City, where our esteemed guest played a massive part with as well.
Let me just put a video on because you just brought that up. I mean, what a night that was, Adam. I can't even imagine what it was like for you that night, Barry. That comeback, 1-0 down to 10 men against Bristol City, and two of your set pieces bring us the 3 points. What's your memories of that, Barry?
Just absolute limbs in the stands. That was it was a great win. I think especially after going down to 10 men, like your backs are against it, and then to get back in it. And then to obviously score on a last minute Ben at the back post, it feels different scoring a last minute winner. You've seen how much it meant to everyone involved there. So it was one of these moments that you can always relive and have a conversation with, and people just, it brings joy.
It was a pivotal win at the time, wasn't it? Because I think Bristol City was sort of pushing us in the promotion place at the time, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a big game. Of course, every game's big, but I think that game, I think there was a lot of tit for tat in the media and a bit of banter. But that was a statement, that game. And I think it just propelled us to go and push on and do what we did.
Sorry, because obviously you mentioned that video, Adam. Let's actually get back to the question. Where does that win on Saturday rank?
For me, you know, what takes a lot of topping is the Wolves 3, Man City 2. That was the game where, like, when VAR kind of like was against us as well, if you remember, when got Sterling's two penalties. And I think just how good a team Man City are at that point, you know, and the way we fought back, that still takes some topping. For me, that does. I actually got quite emotional at the end of that game as well, because it was such a big deal at the time. So I think it's definitely up there without shadow of a doubt, that game. But I think for me, I think that Wolves 3, Man City 2 still just pips it. But I mean, that's got to be the game to push it close.
special wins. Obviously, that Leicester 4-3 that you mentioned back in 2003, the actual quality of the game was really poor, but being 3-0 down at half-time, come back and win 4-3, that will stand out, that one. But I think I'll probably go with you, that Man City at home. I think, as Barry will know, Molineux under the floodlights does get a bit special atmosphere-wise on the occasion. What's your sort of memories going back to when you were at Wolves, Barry? Obviously, you joined in the summer when Nuno took over. Was there any sort of conversation with you and Nuno at the time, or was the deal already agreed before he came in?
No, it was Nuno's reign. That's when I came in. There was conversations in the previous January. I think it was Lambert at the time. But I was enjoying my football in Turkey, and we were having a good season. So, to be honest, I had no real ambitions to come back to the UK. But then the offer presented itself again in summer. And when I spoke to the manager and spoke to the new owners, they said, like, it's going to be a big transition at the club. You know, they're going to be pushing in 3 to 4 years to be a European team, and that just showed where their ambitions were. So it was appealing for me to come back and be a part of it.
Who was your sort of rooming buddy whilst you were at Wolves?
Sorry, I never heard that there.
Who did you room with on away days, or are players rooming individually now at the top level?
I'm trying to remember when I went pre-season. I think we were actually rooming ourselves.
So who was your sort of closest mates whilst you were at Wolves? Are you there, Barry? Just losing you a bit, aren't we? You there, Barry? Well, I'll have to come back to you, Price. What's your sort of memories of Barry at Wolves?
Well, this is one of my memories, actually, meeting the man himself. I thought I'd bring this up here. Look, when I went to one of those dudes at the Cleveland Arms, there he is. Look, have a little.
Yeah, see, good calibre of Wolves players there.
And now, yeah, and especially this lad in the middle here, look.
See, one of the best players I've ever seen at Molineux, Adam Price, in that midfield role.
I remember just like the quality of the set pieces and the corners and the delivery, the crosses into the box from Barry is absolutely deadly. I mean, was it one of the highest like assists in championship season, in all the championship seasons? I think you finished with like quite a high number of assists, in addition to probably bagging about 5 goals as well. So such, you know, it contributed a hell of a lot to our championship winning team. I was a big fan, absolutely big fan of Barry when he was here. Absolutely love the style of play, love what he brought to the team. Obviously, you said, well, you didn't want to come back to the UK. Definitely didn't want to come back to the UK for the weather, did you?
Are you there, Barry?
Look, I'm not sure if Barry can hear us.
No, struggling. Struggling with this connection, aren't we, lads? I'll just mention, whilst we're having technical issues, we're doing an Instagram giveaway at the moment with @bootandball. They're giving away these beer mats. If you just go onto our Instagram page, like the post, follow both pages, and then we'll be picking out a winner later on in the week. Can you hear me, Barry? I'm struggling, really.
Just put something in the chat, see if you can hear us.
just bear with us, folks, for those watching live. Obviously, we've got Leeds this weekend, Saturday, 3 p.m. Got some really good players who've played for both clubs, Robbie Keane, Paul Butler, Andy Keogh, Elder Costa, and obviously Barry Douglas. Any sort of players there that stand out for you as being legends for both clubs, Adam?
Well, I mean, initially I'll probably say my boy Helder, but obviously it's long-time Fancast listeners and viewers only need to know very well how much I used to talk about Costa in glowing terms when he was here. Obviously, we know that kind of faded away after his first season, but it seems as though like. When he went to Leeds, we got like what was 15 million? Was it? I think was it that we got for him. I seem to think when we sold him, and I don't think he ever really kicked on, did he? So I don't really think like the Leeds fans will hold him in the same reverence that we would. Paul Butler as well. That was a strange one. I remember when because he was quite a mainstay for us at the time, wasn't he? And
yeah,
I can't remember if he went on did he go on the free to Leeds?
I think he went on a free. I think. Wolves offered him a deal, but it was on lesser terms than what he was on, and I think he just wanted a fresh start. Are you back with us, Barry?
That's it.
Yeah, but my Wi-Fi is terrible. It must be this Polish Wi-Fi.
No worries. Thanks for sticking with it. Obviously, Adam mentioned there, obviously, players who have played for both Wolves and Leeds. What was your playing days at both clubs? How did you enjoy playing with Helder Costa?
Yeah, Helder, great boy. Great player as well. I think probably, like myself, never really reached the heights that he's capable of when he went to Leeds, because I've seen firsthand what he was capable of at Wolves when he was confident, injury-free, and he was scary at times. But it's good to see him over at Valencia now and enjoying his football, playing with a smile on his face. It
really was a special player for Wolves. What did you? A lot of the questions that we've had from our followers have asked, how did the departure from Wolves come about? Obviously, from my point of view, I can't imagine you were overly keen on making that exit. I think I might have lost him again. I've either put him on the spot and he doesn't want to answer, or the Wi-Fi's kicking in. Let's quickly just look at the stats for the game on Saturday. Leeds have won four to the last 12 fixtures.
A lot of rumours and speculation with my departure, but to be honest, it was quite a shock for myself. I had just had...
I think there's a delay kicking in there, isn't there, I think?
Yeah, carry on.
Speed in a minute, Barry.
Are you there, Barry? You were talking about how it came a bit of a shock to you. Whilst we try and get Barry back, I'm going to show his free kick at home to Leeds. I mean, that was a great free kick, wasn't it, Adam?
Yeah, so that was the free kick technique, kicking again, head down over the ball, bosh, in he goes. I mean, the quality of the set piece, as I mentioned before, was dead eye specialists. I think I can imagine in training competitions between Barry and Ruben on hitting the target, the goal, hitting the crossbar, or just how many I can put in the postage stamp. It must have been at the end of every single training session. There'll be some top-notch free kicks in those Wolves training session days.
I mean, Andy Lonergan in that free quality. Kick is literally nowhere near it. It is postage stamp, isn't it?
Grasping for thin air, as he often does.
Are you there, Barry? Did you enjoy watching that free kick then?
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. I've watched it back once or twice.
Just once or twice. You've got to just show the missus and the kids every now and again.
My boy's not interested in football, to be fair, so I need to wait till he starts to enjoy it, then I'll show him.
Yeah, you'll need to get him in the garden soon, practicing those free kicks. Obviously, last time Wolves played at Elland Road, we won 1-0 thanks to a deflected Raul Jimenez goal. That was Leeds' first league defeat at Elland Road since the February of 2020 when they lost 1-0 at Wigan. Wolves, Leeds, how do you judge both your periods at those clubs, Barry? I don't want to sort of put you on the spot and edge you a certain way, but did you enjoy the promotion with Wolves more than Leeds?
On a footballing terms, yeah, of course. The Wolves season was pretty special. I think everything that could have went right, went right. And it was a joy to be a part of. So it was special, but ultimately playing at Leeds and getting promoted with them in a different kind of style, different way was just as exceptional. So I wouldn't say one was better than the other. They were both equally amazing, just different journeys, different experiences.
How do you compare the two coaches, obviously Nuno and Bielsa?
Yeah, both got their own kind of philosophies. Marcelo is, I think, definitely a lot more particular to detail, and it's a very physically and mentally demanding regime. But ultimately, you see where it's got the boys. We reaped the rewards and got promoted. So it's hard to complain about these things when you are winning and getting results.
Is this, but again, is this the famous murder ball?
A great
is
experience.
It?
Yeah, and it never gets easier. You do it every single week, and it never gets easier.
How did you find the atmospheres between Molineux and Elland Road?
Both great atmospheres. I think both in the days very special when it's a full stadium. So again, it's difficult to compare because I've got nothing but great experiences from both the clubs.
Anything from you, Adam?
Yeah, but I mean, Barry, I know we tried to touch on it before the internet connection gave out a bit, but I'm quite interested to hear about, you know, how the exit from Wolves come about, because we talked about, you know, how much of a key pivotal player you were for Wolves, for us getting promoted. And I know if I was in your position, so and I had played such a key role and been such a key contributor to Wolves promotion, for the manager to then say, I'm sorry, I want to take a different direction. Me personally, I find that really, really hard to take. I'd be kind of wanting to know why. I want an explanation. Did you get any explanation from Nuno at all? Why, you know, he wanted to go in a different direction with yourself?
Sorry, I never heard the last bit, but I know the question. And like I said, yeah, it was, to be honest, it was a bit of a shock to me as well, because I felt I'd definitely earned the right to get a crack in the Premier League. And like you said, I contributed a lot that season to the team. But I had an honest conversation with Nuno, and honestly, it did just come down to him saying, look, the club's gone in a different direction. It's nothing personal. It's a difficult conversation to have, but it's business. So I said, okay, well, the choice was kind of taken out of my hands, because I didn't want to stay somewhere where I wasn't going to be given a fair crack at the whip after the season that I just had. And I think it was in everyone's best interest that I moved on. I did see loads in the media and stuff about fallouts and relationships going sour, but that was never ever the case. We left on amicable terms, like wish them all the best. I wish them the best for the season, and that was it.
Would it have been potentially difficult for you to have dug your heels in and stayed, but, you know, been on the bench every week? Would that, I guess that, even and then wait, potentially waiting for your chance to come along? I'm assuming you thought yourself you were better than that, and you were happy to go and go back then to Championship again to play first team every week.
Sorry, I never heard that. Adam, can you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, so I just thought, did you ever have any inclination of sort of digging your heels in and wanting to stay regardless, even though you knew that you wouldn't be playing every week? Or say, does the football come first, essentially?
No, it was a question I did put to the manager at the time as well. I said, look, that's fine and well if I'm not going to be your number one first choice, but I would like to stay and fight for my place. And he said, like, it wasn't really going to work that way. I would have preferred to have a young player to kind of learn his trade and have someone deploy in that position. So, again, the decision was kind of took out my hands. And again, this is the side of football that people don't see. They think it's all about loyalty and going, but sometimes it is business.
It is disappointing, really, isn't it, Adam, when obviously you made the point about how pivotal Barry was, not just with his set pieces, but obviously the defensive unit, which we all viewed as being very strong in that Championship winning season. Obviously getting Johnny Otto in as a replacement was a good replacement, but I still think as good as Ruben Vinagre was, Barry has already said he did earn the right to play in that Premier League campaign, didn't he?
I think so. And I don't think we're on our own in thinking this either. I remember when the news came out at the time, I was quite shocked by it, to be honest. And I thought Barry was more than deserved a crack in the Premier League. And I know, with Captain Hindsight speaking, we consider Johnny, has worked out to be a very good player. But at the time, none of us really knew anything about Johnny or his abilities or what he'd bring to the team. But we all knew what Barry brought to the team. So I was I was a bit put out that Barry wasn't going to stick around any longer. But I suppose I'm not a football manager, and I don't know what goes on behind closed doors or the chats that managers have with players. One thing I am keen to ask you, Barry, is quite a well-travelled individual. How difficult is it, or potentially how easy is it to up sticks and move? Because you've played in Scotland, England, Poland twice now, and Turkey. And for a neighbour family man, how difficult is it to up sticks and move around Europe?
I think when you don't have kids, it's a lot easier. And I think it was my mentality at the time. I was very open-minded, willing to try new cultures, embrace new experiences. And I think it's something that I've always adhered to, like being out of my comfort zone. And it's why I'm actually now back in Poland with my family. It would have been the easy option to stay in the UK playing a champ. But it was time to challenge myself again. And it's, of course, it's difficult. It's not as easy as home, but you get by. It's only difficult if you allow it to be difficult. You can always make the most of every situation.
I'm sure the Poznan Ultras have welcomed you back with open arms. Oh, I'm not sure if it's
Yeah, I had a nice welcome back again, and we had a successful time here. Sorry, yeah, we had a really successful time here before, so it's good to be back.
Let's quickly get back to Wolves versus Leeds on Saturday, 3 p.m. How have you made both teams' starts this season? Obviously, Leeds had a terrific season back in the Premier League last season, but they have been a bit stuttery recently, haven't they?
Sorry, guys, I didn't hear a word again.
So okay, No problem. How have you viewed Wolves and Leeds' start to this Premier League campaign? Obviously, Leeds did terrific last season, but they have stuttered this season.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because both of them have got a lot of quality. I think the table doesn't show where they should be in the league, but ultimately they need to get results. And I think from what I've seen in the Premier League, it's about building momentum. I think both teams will be fine. I think they just need to get a few wins together and it will give them a lot of confidence and self-belief to build on it. So I've got no worries about them.
What's your opinion on Leeds going into the game Saturday, Adam?
No doubt they're in a bit of a run of poor form. There's questions around Bielsa lost a bit of his aura with the team. I can see, just before coming on, I can see that throughout the season they've been struggling to score goals, struggling to keep goals out as well, which is a bit of a deadly mix, really. And I think coming into our game Saturday, they've got a few injuries they're clocking up as well. When they first come up, Leeds were the entertainers, weren't they? Everyone wanted to watch them. If you were a neutral fan, if Leeds were on, you'd end up watching them. I'm not really sure that's the case anymore. It's a shame I'm not going, really, because Ellen Road's a ground I've not actually been to myself. One that I'd quite like to go to for the atmosphere, as Barry mentioned earlier. It should be a good game, but I do think at the moment that we have probably got a little bit too much for them. I think we're catching Leeds at the right time. Poor form, a few injuries. You might say it's the Wolves thing to fall down here and we'll lose 1-0, but I'm fairly confident us going there and getting a result.
I think I mentioned earlier, in the last 12 fixtures between Wolves and Leeds, Leeds have only won 4, losing 7. So we have had a good record against them in recent years. The main sort of focal point for me is, I think if we can keep Rafinha quiet, I agree with you, Adam, that I think we should have a bit too much for them. Hopefully Jimenez will be back in the starting lineup and we can go back to how we played before the Villa game. What's your sort of your score prediction for the game on Saturday, Barry?
I need to be non-biased, don't I? And go for a high-scoring draw.
What about you, Adam?
I'm probably going the opposite. I don't need to be unbiased whatsoever, do I? So I think we'll win 2-0. I don't really see Leeds posing to... This will be famous last words, of course, I know it will, but I don't think that Leeds will pose too much of an attacking threat or too many problems to us. And I reckon, yeah, with Jimenez back in, hopefully if we go back to 3 again, sort of with Hwang and Jimenez able to click like they have done before, then I think we should win 2-0.
I'm erring on the same side as Barry. Ever since I predicted Wolves to beat Brentford 4-0, I've said I'm not going to predict Wolves to win again for the rest of the season, so I'm going to go with 2-2 as well. Barry, just have a couple of quick questions back during your time at Wolves. Have you got any sort of stories that you can tell us in regards to your teammates which aren't that you're happy to tell us?
Oh, that's putting me in it now.
It always seemed to be nice. It seemed to me like you had good relationships, obviously, with the UK lads, obviously Connor Cody and whatnot. But it seemed to me, from looking from a distance, that you got on well with like Ivan Cavallero.
Yeah, no, I got on with all the foreign boys. To be fair, had a really good relationship with everyone. Roman Saiz as well, had a really good relationship with them. It was a good group of boys. And I think that's why we were so successful that season. There was no egos, and it was nice to see some of them take the next step and kick on as well.
Any last questions from you, Adam, before we call it a night?
I understand probably why Barry you brought up Saiz, because he does seem like the joker of the camp, doesn't he? When Wolves put out all the videos, like, before a game or pre-season, Saiz is always the one larking about, was it in Marbella last time? He was doing wrestling moves with John Ruddy or everything, or something like that in the training camp. It just seems like he's a joke of the gang, and he just seems like a great guy to have around.
No, he's a good character. He's got a horrendous fashion sense, but no, he's a good boy.
Isn't there quite a few of the Wolves, your former teammates, who you'd say have got bad dress sense? Obviously, you like a bit of it yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I like to have a little dabble, but nothing too extreme or extravagant. But some boys are having themselves, and they're just miles off it.
Are you going to name? You going to throw him under the bus there or not?
I'll start with Roman Saez.
So what are you classing as extravagant from Romain?
Oh, he loved a design on them, to be fair. He loved a design on them. So I don't necessarily agree that if it's designer, it looks good. But that's just some people's style.
We've just mentioned Saez there. From what I gather, he's probably one of the hardest in the squad if you had to go into a fight with someone. Is that right?
Who, sorry?
Saez is like probably one of the toughest. If you had to take someone into a fight with you, he'd be one of the first ones.
To be fair, he would be there. He would be there. I wouldn't mind being in the trenches with him, but nah, if I was at my time at Wolves getting a fight, I'm standing behind John Ruddy and Willie Bolly, and that's it. No problems.
If you're in the trenches with Romain Saez, he still have his designer gear on.
Two absolute tanks in John Ruddy and Willie Bolly. Barry, as I mentioned before and throughout the show, thanks for giving us your time tonight. We've really enjoyed having you on. Hopefully Adam's right in regards to the score prediction and we're wrong when it comes to Saturday. As always, thanks to everyone who's tuned in tonight, listened, continues to support the Fancast. We'll see you for our post-match podcast Sunday/Monday.